You're talking about leaving the Northwest for warmer climes. How do you give up the view that you express so eloquently in your poem about being invited to submit poems of the ancient Chinese mountain recluse poets?
Well,
I pulled that one up if you want to tell the story about that. It might be one of your longest titles ever.
A friend in Chicago decided he'd put together a little book of a number of American poets who have written poems in the classical Chinese style. So I just quoted from his invitation. On being invited to submit poems written in the manner of the ancient Chinese mountain recluse poets. From my windows on this hill, Fidalgo Bay, green islands, pale blue sky, and far off, Kamakulchin, crowned with icy snow, first and only words I know in the Lummi tongue. 35 years in the woods, watching the tree trunks thicken, and now this view, this vision. Kamakulchin is the old name for Mount Baker, the Great White Watcher.
And you're going to give up that view?
Yeah, I am, I think, yeah. You know, I'm isolated up there. It's 2 hours on a good day to get to Seattle. I don't really have any friends in Anacortes. I have some golf friends, so for 3 months out of the year, I'm very happy. I have a beautiful view, and I have golf. But the other 9 months of the year, it's really miserable, and I'm lonely, and I'm isolated, and I want a social life.
And still, there's the grief of losing Gray.
Well, that's a condition of being. That goes with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. But it's harder there because we bought that house for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she wanted to be close to her family. Except for her youngest son. I don't ever hear from her family anymore. So I don't even have that connection in that part of the world. Mm. I'm just sort of stuck there. The closest friend I have is my daughter, who comes to see me very regularly from Vancouver, B.C. She had the good sense to become a Canadian.
How do you begin to write poems about Gray? I mean, how do you pull up the courage to do something like that?
Well, you don't have the intent. It happens. I mean, if you believe in organic poetry, you believe in you know, following your muse where she brings you. It just happens. If you want to give me...
How about that?
The Visitation.
That's the poem that I pulled up, exactly.
I was in San Miguel de Allende. This poem just happened. I don't think I've ever revised a word in this poem. It simply happened. A Visitation. I wake suddenly in the middle of the night and realize I'm stroking the pillow beside me, dreaming of my wife who is 6 months dead. I rise and brush my teeth and pour a stiff drink and go out into the garden to sit on the old iron bench and think. It's after midnight and the moon is almost full. And after a long silence, I hear, faintly, a woman's heels chink, chink, chink against the ancient cobblestone beyond the garden wall as she makes her way down the street.
Sam, this book ends with you asking what it is that you've learned, and if this is in fact you know, the last few months that you're a resident of Cascadia, of the Northwest, can you go back to the time when Copper Canyon pulled up and moved to the Northwest and maybe answer your question, or at least what you might answer that question with today? What is it that you've learned by living in the Northwest?
Well, the answer to that question can't be found in language. It's the silence of the Tao. It's the silence of Shikantaza. It's what lies beyond words.
Well, I'd like you to read True Peace, if possible. That closes the book and a great way to close the interview. So would you honor us with that?
True Peace. half broken on that smoky night, hunched over sake in a serviceman's dive somewhere in Naha, Okinawa, nearly 50 years ago. I read of the Saigon Buddhist monks who stopped the traffic on a downtown thoroughfare so their master, Thich Quang Duc, could take up the lotus posture in the middle of the street. And they baptized him there with gas and kerosene, and he struck a match and burst into flame. That was June 1963, and I was 20, a U.S. Marine. The master did not move, did not squirm. He did not scream in pain as his body was consumed. Neither child nor yet a man, I wondered to my Okinawan friend, what can it possibly mean to make such a sacrifice, to give one's life with such horror, but with dignity and conviction? How can any man endure such pain and never cry and never blink? And my friend said simply, Thich Quang Duc has achieved true peace. And I knew that night true peace for me would never come. Not for me, Nirvana. This suffering world is mine, mine to suffer in its grief. Half a century later, I think of Bodhat Thich Quang Duc, revered as a Bodhisattva now, his lifetime building temples, teaching peace, and of his death and the statement that it made. Like Shelley's, his heart refused to burn, even when they burned his ashes once again in the crematorium. His generous heart turned magically to stone. What is true peace, I cannot know. 100 wars have come and gone as I've grown old. I bear their burdens in my bones. Mine's the heart that burns today. Mine the thirst, the hunger in the soul. Old master, old teacher, what is it that I've learned?
You know, Sam, I remember visiting your old house a few years ago, the one that you built in Port Townsend, and I remember the mantra that we had that weekend. It was, thank you, Sam. And that's the only thing I can say now. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Paul.
Border Songs is the name of the new book. You can find out more about that at wordpalacepress.com. And Ian, thanks for your time, man.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much.
IanBoyden.com, the website for Ian's work.